You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in to the Gym Class on this Thursday, the 7th of May, as we welcome you in. Scott Unash from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, buttons across the glass, and Mark Dukes joining me from his home on the southwest side. We are presented, as always, by Hennings Financial here on the program. You can find out more about them at kgymradio.com. Just go ahead and click on the left side of our webpage to find out more. Hennings Financial, they are the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program here on KGYM. Good show coming up for you. We are going to be talking some racing with you. Joey Gase, Cedar Rapids native, NASCAR driver on the Cup Circuit, will be joining us. NASCAR is going to go back to racing a week from, week from this Sunday. And they will race at the venerable Darlington Speedway in Darlington, South Carolina. That's where they will pick things up. Speaking of racing, news coming out today officially from the NTT IndyCar Series. They are going to get their season resumed on June the 6th at the Texas Motor Speedway. And looking forward to that. That is always a very good race down there. And the cycle between the good news and the bad news, or the two-step forward and one-step back, or one step forward and two steps back, however you want to look at it and however you want to interpret it, keeps on moving on. Mark, how you doing today?
Doing well, Scott, Buttons, everyone out there. Looking forward to another terrific show, hopefully.
Mentioned we're going to talk to Joey Gase, and we'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Plenty to talk about as far as off the field. Of course, tonight we have, for the NFL aficionados out there, and I think everybody is pretty much anticipating any type of sports at this point, the NFL schedules will be released coming up this evening. The leaks have been out there throughout the day, up and down. Most teams are very, very strategically good with what they put out. we do know a few things anyway, as far as the official schedule for the National Football League. And keep in mind that this NFL schedule is based on the fact that the NFL teams and the NFL can get back onto the field at the start of their season. So, yeah, we shall see how it all plays out. But we do know this for sure, that it definitely, if it's not 100%, it's at least 99.6% that the opener for the NFL season on the Thursday night will be the, I love saying it, Mark, the your defending national and international and world champion Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Houston Texans in a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game.
I think it's a very attractive one, and they know each other very well, as you know, Scott. And yesterday we talked about the possibility of the Chiefs taking on Carolina. That wasn't all too appetizing to me and many others, but Houston, I think, is a really interesting matchup for the Chiefs.
Would be a couple of other leaks for the Chiefs. Sounds like the Chiefs will play at Baltimore, and that's what everyone thought the AFC Championship game would look like. Week 3, that will be in Baltimore. Now, again, none of these are really – a few primetime games have been leaked out. Not a ton of them out there, but the Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens, Week 3. Chiefs at Tampa, sounds like it's going to be Week 12, and the Chiefs in New Orleans to take on Cajun Troy's New Orleans Saints, will be Week 15. That, according to another source out there. Speaking of Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that still sounds and feels weird to say. It looks as though Tampa will be at New Orleans to open the season, so it'll be Tom Brady and Drew Brees at the Superdome to start the 2020 season, interestingly enough.
Yeah, very interesting if those hold to be true, and I don't know why they wouldn't. They're out there right now, and I'll be interested to see, and I know you will be too, the primetime games. We'll break those down tomorrow. As I said, it's sort of anticlimactic because we already know the home and away schedules for each and every team. But we'll see the Monday night games, the Thursday night games, what have you, and it'll be interesting.
It is. We talked about the fact yesterday there were a few rumors out there that the NFL was going to kind of play with the schedule a little bit to have nothing but non-conference games for the first 4 weeks of the season. That is not the case, obviously, with the Chiefs and Houston opening things up. In fact, it looks like the Patriots and the Dolphins are going to be an opening game. Sounds like there's going to be a Christmas game coming up for 2020, a Friday Christmas game between the Saints and the Vikings on a Friday. And the NFL says that would be the fifth time the NFL has played a Friday night game over the past 25 years. The last Friday game was 11 years ago, 2009, between the then San Diego Chargers and the Tennessee Titans. Another leak out there. It looks like the Monday night doubleheader to start the season. The second game is going to be hosted by the Denver Broncos. And interestingly enough, that those leaks continue to come out right now. Want to let you know at 3:09 that if you were trying to tune into the programs today, our program here, the Gym Class, followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM, we are doing some maintenance right now on 1600 AM. So 1600 AM is down at the present time, but we very much welcome you to listen on the Gym OT, 107.5 FM and 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Our fine programming going on those very stations right now, and we will try to get 1600 AM up and running as soon as is humanly possible. So thank you very much for your patience out there. We do appreciate it.
Indeed. Kind of sobering news out of Oregon, Scott. And we were just talking about this before we went on the show that Governor Kate Brown has made an announcement within the last couple hours that there will be no fans in the stands at Autzen Stadium through September. And this is not only significant because I think it's the first announcement of its kind, but Oregon's scheduled to open at home September 5th against North Dakota State. And then 1 week later on September 12th, Oregon scheduled to play Ohio State, probably the biggest game that would ever be played up to now at Autzen Stadium. And then the Ducks play a game against Hawaii the following week. So the Oregon has three home games in September. But as far as the governor in Oregon feels, based on consultation with health authorities, that there won't be any fans in the stands to see those games if they are played.
Yeah, and it goes back to what I said at the beginning of the program. Depending on how you look at things, two steps forward, one step back, or one step forward, two steps back, however you want to term it. And if that is indeed true, that counteracts another report today, a newspaper report, talking with Big 12 presidents, saying that may have been actually yesterday that that came out, but reported today as well, that Big 12 presidents believe that they will have students at campus and on campus and ready to start when classes begin this fall. So I guess what is this an individual state decision? Is this something out there as far as, you know, the X-Files? The truth is somewhere out there. We don't exactly know where it is at this present time. Again, we're talking September here on May the 7th, which is a little unusual as well.
All right. And by the way, I should source that Oregon story to 24/7 Sports, but multiple other outlets are reporting the same. And as far as campuses opening, which you're referring to, stories I have read that all 10 Big 12 conference schools planning to open up campuses again in the fall. 8 out of the 14 ACC schools, at least up to this date, are planning to reopen in the fall. and five in the Pac-12, planning to do the same. Will we have more or less down the road? We shall see, but that's where it stands right now.
It does. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in. NFL schedules, which, by the way, the teams are allowed to leak out at 6:30 coming up this evening. If you want to talk about that, and if you want to talk about what the state of Oregon allegedly is doing right now, or what the Big 12 presidents are thinking about as well. Love to hear from you out there. Again, text line available to you at 319-366-1600 as we continue to fight the coronavirus and COVID-19. Again, if you do not need to go out, please stay in and take all the take everything that you could do to help stop the spread of this on this May the 7th. As we are now officially, Mark, 2 months into it. We are at the 8-week mark today since all this got going.
Hard to believe, and so much has changed positively and negatively in the those 8 weeks, and I'm sure more of the same in the next month or so as we approach a June 1st, kind of a milestone. Many states, and Iowa included, are going to have to make decisions then as, for example, the resumption of high school sports activities. Can you go back and do football camps or 7-on-7s or resumption of baseball and softball seasons? And a lot of decisions are going to have to be made in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, and right now June 1st is what the state, at least those that are hoping for a baseball and a prep softball season, right now are looking at. And the governor will not have a news conference from what I read tomorrow, but one will come up, I would imagine, on Monday. And we may hear a lot more then because the May 15th, for the 22 counties that were not at least partially cleared, that deadline is coming up next Friday. So we're going to hear some things coming up that are going to be dealing with high school softball, high school baseball, just a lot of things. And we will do that probably early next week, I would imagine, is going to be the case. But we'll see.
2683 on our text line mentioning way too early to make a call about September. Yeah, the Oregon opener is 4 months away.
Seems like it doesn't seem like that much, though. It really, in what we're going through right now, but boy, oh boy, I do agree. I do agree with 2683. It is a little bit down the path, a third of the year out there. So,
well, ironically, we talked yesterday or the day before that Iowa announced a student ticket sales for football and men's basketball, as if nothing were going on. And that's not a criticism about the announcement, but there you have the paradoxical situation that the Oregon governor has already said no fans in September, and Iowa, among others, going ahead and offering season tickets.
Yeah. 319-366-1600, if you would like to weigh in. We mentioned the fact that we will have IndyCar racing. We're going to have NASCAR racing coming up a week from Sunday. We're going to talk with Joey Gase, Cedar Rapids native, about that and how he is getting ready for the resumption of the NASCAR season. They will race without fans for the first handful of races, and they're going to have a ton of races in the first 2 weeks between all of the series, the Cup Series as well as the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series. So they will go fast and furious during the week, on weekends, what have you. And I would imagine there is nobody happier than the Fox Sports Networks out there, because you may see that on every Fox channel. We shall see how that plays out, because I think everybody right now is very much wanting to see some live sports at the present time. 317. Some more things to talk about here today. We mentioned the NFL schedules will be coming out this evening. with that same vein as far as television is concerned. I think 3 hours is going to be dedicated to the NFL schedules coming out, I think, on NFL Network and on ESPN. It's definitely on the NFL Network coming up tonight because you got to have something to talk about, and this is something to talk about, Mark. So I don't blame them one bit for this.
No, that you need as much content as possible in these times. And by the way, I looked into the toughest schedules for the 2020 season, and the New England Patriots have the toughest schedule based on opponent's record last season. And if you're interested, some of the Midwest teams: Minnesota, the Vikings at number 10, the Bears at number 13, Green Bay at 15, Kansas City 18, and Baltimore has the easiest schedule based, again, on those one-loss records from 2019.
Bengals had a lot to do with that.
Yes.
Cincinnati had a lot to do with that as far as Baltimore is concerned. Coming up on 319 here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM. Want to remind you, coming up tonight on 107.5 along with 106.3 FM, more classic NFL football coming your way this evening, courtesy of Westwood One. And tonight it's going to be the divisional playoff game. I believe this was early 2013, the 2012 season. The AFC divisional game between Baltimore and Denver, from Denver. Remember that very, very well. Very fun, high-scoring affair. The reason I remember that is because the Z102.9 wedding show was that particular day, and we watched the second half of the Denver-Baltimore game on a post-wedding show extravaganza. So that's why I remember that game, Mark.
I do as well, but for different reasons. By the way, watch out for the Denver Broncos this year in your division. I'm just saying.
You're calling your shot.
I think the Broncos are going to be much improved. I don't think Denver will rise to Kansas City's level, but they're going to be a tough out.
Okay.
All season, I think. Yeah.
See, I've been worried about Las Vegas. That's the team I've been worried about more than any other team.
Well, that's a tough division. It really is. And you could be very well right about that.
Yeah. 1307.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wish we had a crystal ball. Because they ask, what do you guys think about high school football this fall right now? Well, you got to be optimistic about the fall, I guess. If we do our due diligence now, I think the better the odds. I mean, I'm selfish myself, calling games for as long as we have called games here on KGYM. I'm hoping and keeping fingers and toes crossed that we're going to have a high school football season. I feel for all those spring athletes that did not have their seasons, especially seniors out there. And much like colleges, and especially colleges, this is the money making sport for a lot of high school budgets out there, as high school football. Not that high school sports are big money makers out there. That's not what I am saying. But they need football. High schools need football. So I'm hoping.
Well, the answer to the question of the texter is I don't know any better than anybody else. I will tell you, I have opinions for selfish reasons. As I mentioned, my grandson is going to be a senior next fall on one of the local teams, and it'd be a shame if he couldn't experience that, and I could experience it as well. But I think, honestly, it's going to depend on what happens around June 1st. If high school and baseball seasons are allowed to resume, I think at the same time there will be a coincidental announcement about summer activities could resume, perhaps maybe not off-season weight conditioning in the schools or anything like that, but maybe 7-on-7s or camps of some kind. I mean, the high school football programs are already behind the eight ball. since schools have closed, coaches have had to rely on their athletes to do things on their own. You know, as high school juniors and seniors, that's a dangerous thing to rely on.
As 53-year-olds, that's a dangerous thing to rely on.
Yeah, some kids are very good about it, some aren't. And I would suspect that they're going to be behind when and if they return. As far as the games themselves, again, I think the opening weekend is late August. Correct me if I'm wrong, Scott.
Yes, but, late August.
You're still about 3.5 months down the road here. Again, you need ramp-up time and whatnot. But I do think that June 1st date and what the governor says, what the public health officials say, how the state associations respond in terms of allowing resumption or not, to me, that's a key date, because if those things go on, I think, you know, the fall will follow, especially if kids are in school.
I think a good step is the fact that the state of Indiana, the Indiana High School Association, has announced that they are going to allow contact between coaches and their athletes starting again, I believe, on June the 1st. I believe I read that correctly. So, again, that's a step forward. We'll see here in the state of Iowa. Yeah. Wish we could tell you a better and have a better answer for you at 1307, but fingers crossed out there. Need to take a break. Come back. Joey Gase will join us. We'll talk about the resumption of the NASCAR season. That's positive, and we'll do that when we return. You're listening to The Gym Class on this Thursday, May the 7th, presented by Hennings Financial, right here on KGYM. We are back at 3:26 here on the Thursday edition of The Gym Class. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes with you as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour presented by Hennings Financial here on KGYM. I want to remind you that The Gym has partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. For more information, go to KGYMradio.com. That's KGYMradio.com. And more about things coming up in just a little bit. And we're going to talk some racing right now as we are happy to have Joey Gase with us, Cedar Rapids native and, of course, driver on the Cup Series as far as NASCAR is concerned. And they are getting ready to resume things coming up a week from Sunday at Darlington. And Joey, thanks. Long time no see, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. And you got to be itching to get back. You guys in NASCAR are going to be basically the first. I know UFC is going to be out there, but with all apologies to them, as far as mainstream sports are concerned, NASCAR is going to be the first one to get back to what they are doing and doing it best. And even though you won't have a crowd around you guys, you got to be happy.
Yeah, we're, you know, happy as we can be. Like you said, we're excited to get back racing. It's going to be a very strange feeling for sure, not having fans there. But it's, you know, I'm proud of NASCAR for us being able to be back first. And not only that, but we're doing it the right way and making sure everyone's going to be safe at the same time.
Joey, do you have any trepidation about returning?
No, not at all. I mean, it's, you know, everything that NASCAR has been doing to make sure that we're going to be safe, and not only us, but the public is, I mean, I think above and beyond. NASCAR is working hand-in-hand with the not only the CDC, but all the local government officials and making sure we're doing everything the right way. And I actually just got off the phone with NASCAR Medical about 30 minutes ago, just going over some more of the procedures and how we're going to be going about everything. So it's, you know, we have to do a question and answer before we ever get to the racetrack. And then everything's going to be staggered on when we get there. And the drivers actually can't be in the garage area at all until it's race time, and we got to walk straight to our cars. And once we get to the racetrack, all the drivers and crew and everybody that's there has to go through a medical screening and temperature reading and all that kind of stuff before we can enter. And then we actually have to do that all again even after we, or when we leave the racetrack. So it's a very thorough process, and it's probably going to be one of the safest places to be other than, of course, home.
What's a, you mentioned you got to go through the testing and things like that. Also heard the that it could be a situation where you won't have as many people there over the wall as far as pit stops are concerned, and just overall personnel as far as the race teams are concerned. What do you know about that?
Yeah, for us, it's really not going to hurt us much. We still are going to have live pit stops and all that with our normal over the wall guys, but they're limiting the crews to 16 overall people per car, including the over the wall guys. So for being a smaller team like us, that's not honestly really going to affect us at all. We very rarely have that many people there per car.
That might even help level the playing field a little bit for you.
It could, yeah, absolutely. In a way, the only disadvantage that we'll have is just that we don't have the sim programs that the big teams have. So when they get there and they unload, they're normally start off a little closer than we do. So that's just the only problem we're going to have with having no practice and no qualifying. But we're all excited to get back racing, and NASCAR is going to be working with all of us on that as well. So we're going to have, I think, some competition cautions early so we can come in and make adjustments and check our tire wear and all that kind of stuff, and not only a caution just for normal pit stop, but a caution to where if you have 5 minutes to do what you need to the car and you're not going to lose a spot on the track to do it type of a deal. So almost reminds me of some of the big modified races they would have at Hawkeye Downs, where they would come in and be able to change tires and stuff like that.
Speaking of the Downs, you were out there earlier this week. For what reason?
Multiple. I was bored. I want to go have some fun and get back in the swing of things a little bit. But not only that, we hopefully I'll be able to come out the Hawkeye Downs this year and do our normal deal, or hopefully put on a special for a sport low cost. But we're going to have to wait and see how the schedule for everybody works out before we can do that. But also we had a young driver out there who's looking to come race as well this summer in the sport mod class and in our car. So we're teaching him the ropes, and it was awesome to see how good of a job he did at 14 years old and never being in a full-size race car before. And he was only about a half second off me by the end of the day. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, Joey Gase joining us here at 3:32 on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. And, of course, I know that everybody at NASCAR wants to stay safe. And I think especially as far as you're concerned as well, because obviously you got the twins. And so you have a little bit of a different situation to think about, too.
Yeah, absolutely. my wife, Caitlin, makes sure to remind me of that every time I leave the house or do anything. Absolutely, that we're not only concerned about my own health and safety, but also our little boys as well. They're almost 5 months old now, I guess. It's pretty crazy how quick that's gone by already, but we're definitely keeping their health in mind too. They're young boys and they're premature, but now they're doing great, and we definitely don't want to do anything to affect that negatively.
Joey, you probably experienced just about everything on the racetrack, from crashes to tires going down to equipment failures. But it was interesting last weekend. You're partaking in the iSports or iRacing series, and you went out of that race early, at least briefly, for a different reason. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's something I've never had happen in a real car before, that's for sure. But I lost internet connection for about 60 seconds, so I couldn't see any of the other competitors, and they couldn't see me either, so it booted me out of the race. So then I had to reboot everything else and get back in. By the time that happened, I was 12 laps down, so that was a big bummer for sure. But stuff happens in all forms of racing. That's kind of out of your control sometimes, and that was something that day for sure. But hopefully this weekend in North Wilkesboro and our Action Restoration car, we won't have any problems like that. And it's pretty cool to be, even though it's just a virtual North Wilkesboro, but to be able to go back there and race there. And I think even John Wood's going to be racing with us, so that's something that's going to be pretty cool.
That is cool. And if folks don't know, North Wilkesboro, of course, one of the old-time tracks that NASCAR really grew up on, and sport kind of outgrew it a little bit, but I'm with you. I think it's just going to be really cool to have even a virtual race at a place that had so much history and so many of the greats as far as racing race there at one time or another.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it is that track. So it was pretty cool. Junior and some volunteers went there and cleaned it up so that iRacing could go there and laser scan it. So it's not something that, they just think it's kind of like this or looks like this or guess that it. It's, a true laser scan. So it's something that's pretty cool.
The actual return to racing is at Darlington, Joey. And tell us about your experiences there, pro or con, and what you're looking forward to in that race.
Yeah, I really haven't ever had a great race there, I would say, but I've never really had a horrible race there really either. So it's a very unique racetrack, and it's a really fun racetrack to be on, but can be super frustrating at the same time. It's a trough that's hard enough to get around without anyone else in the racetrack with you, and then when they get on there with you, it just makes it that much harder. So it's really weird. It's really wide, but really narrow all at the same time. There's no yellow line rule or anything like that. But as far as the banking goes, there's about 2.5 grooves maybe of banking that you get to use, and you can go underneath that. And sometimes you have to try to go find grip, but it's something that's a lot of fun. And normally at some point you scrape the wall. You always try not to do that, but the way the groove is and the racing line and side-by-side stuff, you're always right there against it, it seems.
And they call that a Darlington stripe.
Yes, that's right.
And everybody has one by the time all is said and done, usually even the winner. And, of course, Darlington starts the season back up, and I know NASCAR has created a very, very ambitious schedule. Sounds like you guys are going to be racing even some midweek races, at least early on anyway. And how's that going to change things?
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. We're normally at the racetrack in the Cup Series 3 days out of the week, and race once, or if you're doing double duty or something, race twice with an Xfinity. But now we're gonna be racing twice with the Cup Series per week, but we're still only gonna be at the racetrack twice a week. So it's kind of weird for sure, but we still get to sleep in our own beds every night. So that's something that's kind of nice. We're close enough to home, and that's why we're racing at Darlington. This isn't something that was scheduled. We're only supposed to be racing there in September, but now we'll actually be racing there 3 times. And I think it's a great track to be able to go race at multiple times. And we're trying to make up all the racing as we can, but it's going to be a unique situation and going to be a little bit difficult on teams at times, but at the same time, we don't have to normally worry about preparing a backup car just because there's no practice or qualifying. So then you only have to prepare, make sure you have one car ready, and maybe your backup car then can be your primary for the next time you go back through a few days later.
Yeah. Joey Gase joining us at 3:39 here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM, and hopefully everything can get through the season. And I know you're itching to get back into the car. And how much have you been in contact? I would imagine most every day with the race team.
Oh yeah, we've been in contact, like you said, pretty much daily. All going, and of course the public's only seen a few possible schedules, but we've seen a lot more than that, and that's changed a lot throughout the process. So it's been a lot keeping up with things and trying to figure out what you yourself have to prepare for physically, but also what you have to do for for your sponsors and trying to figure out the sponsor game and all that kind of stuff.
Joey, have you heard from anybody about possibility of fans returning to the tracks? Is it going to depend on what state it's in? What have you heard, if anything?
We haven't really heard a whole lot, and that's something that's, you know, always been changing constantly. So we don't really know when that's going to happen for sure, but hopefully, you know, sooner rather than later, if this virus here hopefully starts going away.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Hopefully that will be curtailed and we can get fans back because they're the lifeblood of not only NASCAR but everything. And it's like you said, it's going to be very weird and unusual that first time, I think, at Darlington to at least to go out to the race car and not see fans to your left, to your right, wishing you well and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. The one thing I think you can relate it to is if it was a couple day rain delay, but even then, you know, there's still thousands of fans there, so now being absolutely no campers or anything, it's definitely going to be strange.
It will be but it'll be a good strange. At least you're getting back into the race car, and I think it'll be interesting that first race to see, you know, what kind of shape everybody's in. Is everybody going to be getting along a little bit more? Are there going to be any leftovers from iRacing, people taking each other out? There are a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah, and that, you know, that iRacing stuff, when you're in it, it's you take that just as seriously as you do the real stuff, and you get almost just as mad, too. So it's funny. There's been a couple of drivers that have really gotten into it. Luckily, I haven't been one of those yet, but it's interesting, to say the least.
It will be. No doubt about that. Well, hey, Joey, thank you for taking time to join us. Appreciate it. And we will be watching at Darlington, and it should be a lot of fun. It's just going to be great to see not only NASCAR back out there, but sports back out there, even though we will not have a crowd around you guys down in South Carolina.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having on, and I'm looking forward to it as well.
All right. Thanks, Joey. Appreciate it.
Yep, thank you. Bye-bye.
Joey Gase, NASCAR driver from Cedar Rapids, joining us here on the program at 3:42. It is going to be very weird to see the race, just to see anything without a crowd for the first time. But it's going to get us ready, I think, Mark, for what we're going to see after that. IndyCar is going to come back on June the 6th. They announced that for sure today down at the Texas Motor Speedway. Golf will be the next week at the event on the PGA Tour, and they will not have a gallery for the first 4 weeks. And it's just, I think the first time you see it, it's going to be unusual, and I think after about 2 or 3 weeks, we'll probably start to get used to it a little bit before, you know, a little bit of a crowd starts to get to be allowed anyway to come back.
Yeah, I would agree. It's going to be strange. You've got the May 24th exhibition golf match with Tiger and Phil and Brady and Manning. That's by the way, it's at Tiger's home course.
Yeah, what's that about?
But that's going to be without fans, but it'll be a live event, and it'll be fun. And like many of the things, it will take some getting used to, and I trust it's only going to be temporary for however long.
We hope. We hope, anyway. And if you don't think that's a big advantage to be on your home course and you don't know golf.
Slightly, yeah.
Is wagering going to be allowed on that? Buttons told me earlier before we got on the air that, what was it, Russian table tennis? Russian table tennis is now one of the sports that you can put a wager on.
Okay, I'm not a degenerate, but good to know. I know UFC is posting some, or the Elite Sportsbook is posting some information about the UFC fight coming up.
And, yep.
So that will slowly come back as well.
And a lot of futures out there as well that they're still taking care of. And Yeah, it'll be interesting. No doubt about that. 3:44, we will come back. We'll talk a little bit more about what the governor of the state of Oregon had to say, Big 12 presidents, and more when we come back. Gym Class 4-8 Thursday, coming your way, presented by Hennings Financial, right here on KGYM. Back at 3:44. There we go. Don't turn your mic off, Scott. Back at 3:47 on the Gym Class for a Thursday on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, we'll go over the NFL schedule, the juicy games. We'll have our yearly. I will have my yearly look into who did well as far as primetime games and national television games are concerned. So that'll be coming up tomorrow. And we'll have a topic tomorrow as well that Mark and I thought of earlier today. And we will share that with you before 4 o'clock here today. I think it'll be a good one. I'm looking forward to it because we all have a story that goes along with this topic. So we'll let everybody know about that at before 4 o'clock here today.
All right. Works for me.
One thing to let everybody know, this was announced just a little bit ago here through the Cedar Rapids Gazette, as well as the Linn County Fair Association. We talked about, again, the old one step forward, two steps back, one step, whatever you want to, however you want to deem it. Here's another back one. Linn County Fair is not going to go off as far as grounds and grandstand entertainment for this year. The fair scheduled to take place June 24th through the 28th up at the Linn County Fairgrounds in Central City has been canceled for the grounds and the grandstand entertainment. They are going to try to work with ISU Extension and Outreach in Linn County and the Linn County 4-H to determine how they can have exhibitions as far as the work of the FFA folks and the 4-H people out there. And, you know, we talk about athletes, Mark, and we do that on our sports program here, certainly, but that they've gone through X number of months, X number of years with everything that they've done. And this is another example. Folks that raise cattle, sheep, whatever the case may be, that have put blood, sweat, and tears into it, and they may not get a shot to do this as well.
Yeah, and I have nieces and nephews that are in the farming business out in Victor and North English, and the county fairs, the state fairs are a huge thing. I mean, you set your whole summer around that if you're in that business. And for those things to go away, it'd be a shame for those kids, much like, you know, spring sports for the high schools. So got to roll with it.
Yeah, and of course, not only Linn County Fair, but also earlier today, the Benton County Fair also canceled for 2020. The Wapello County Fair also down in southeast Iowa. Has also been canceled. So the fair season for 2020 would have started in June. And unfortunately, I think that's also going to be, as we have seen already, a little bit of a casualty as well as far as COVID-19 and the coronavirus is concerned. 319-366-1600. That is our text line here at KGYM. And you mentioned earlier on, Mark, in case folks tuned in a little bit late, by the way, if you missed our talk with Joey Gase, NASCAR driver from Cedar Rapids, we will have that up on our website for you on our podcast at kgymradio.com right after the show here today. But you also talked about at the beginning of the program the statement from the governor of Oregon and a little bit more folks picking up on that right now.
Right. She has prohibited fans from attending sporting events, for example, Oregon football, in the month of September. And as I outline, Oregon has three home games in September, including a huge game September 12th against Ohio State that was much anticipated and will be even without fans should it take place. But you're talking about a certain sellout there. I don't know how often they sell out Autzen Stadium, probably quite often, but that's going to that's really too bad under the circumstances.
Is that potentially the first domino to fall as far as college football is concerned? I mean, there are so many different layers to this. You've got the layer which has been talked about a lot. Kids, if they are not on campus, you're not going to see football. I think we're pretty much under that assumption right now. You have that. Now you have one governor of one state out of the 50 saying we're not going to have people in the stands through September. That's got to play a part in things. This may be the first domino to fall as far as college football, and whether it's going to be in a different form, its regular form, is Oregon just going to continue to play their schedule despite the fact that no one's going to be at Autzen Stadium? That's a lot of money you're talking about. Now, Phil Knight could probably write a check in 2 seconds to make up for it, but hey, it's still a lot of money.
Well, it is indeed, and I'm sure college officials across the land are working through all kinds of scenarios for fans, for workers at the stadium, concessions, ticket holders, even the teams and the coaches. I mean, I was just thinking today, you know, what about at the high school and college level? Will face shields or visors be required or recommended this year? And a couple folks agreed with me that not a bad idea. A couple folks said that's not needed and whatnot. So, but those are the types of scenarios that I think that officials, at least if they're not, should be thinking through.
319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in on what the governor of Oregon has had to say today, or is this the first domino to fall as far as what possibly could happen as far as college football returning in the fall? Of course, there have been plans that have put college football into the late winter, into the spring. Not a lot of concrete information as far as that is concerned yet, but you got to think that is on the drawing board as far as maybe plan D or E, as far as some of the conferences, schools, what have you, are thinking about. So, yeah. And again, this is only May the 7th, folks. We got a long way to go as far as this is concerned. Again, 319-366-1600. We got the NFL schedules coming out tonight. Leaks coming down the line. Again, if you missed it, looks like the opener that is going to be scheduled, that will be on, I believe, September the 10th, is going to be in Kansas City as the Chiefs will take on the Houston Texans in a rematch of the AFC Championship game. From all indications today, and that is from various sources, that looks like that will be the opener as far as the National Football League is concerned. 0818 on the text line. Go SEC! The SEC may have the biggest say as far as all this is concerned. We'll have to wait and see.
They may have different ideas from everyone else as well.
Could be. But like you said, Mark, we still have so many things to be answered, and we have time, but time is ticking away.
All I would say is I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but why are we making concrete decisions like this, like the governor of Oregon is making, 4 months away from an event that's scheduled to happen?
Yeah.
They must have pretty good health department officials to forecast that far in advance.
Yeah.
Or can't come up with a solution as to have fans. That could very well be as well.
Yep, it's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting. 3:56, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we will let you know about our topic coming up for tomorrow. And we'll do that after this. You're listening to The Gym Class on KGYM. 3:58, back with you in the Gym Class on KGYM on the text line, 6429, with their take. Too early to think about empty venue games. I remember when the White Sox played the Orioles in an empty stadium. I remember that as well. Boring. WWE has seen ratings tank after putting on their shows at their training center with no fans. That could serve as a cautionary tale for actual sports. And again, we're all kind of just waiting to see how this all plays out here. What we're not waiting to see is tomorrow, and we are going to have a topic for you, our Friday topic coming your way on the Gym Class, presented by Hennings Financial. We're going to dive into some numbers and why you like them, Mark. I think this is going to be fun. I like this topic for Friday.
Yes, we want to talk about jersey numbers. your stories out there, all sports, pro, college. What are your favorite jersey numbers, your iconic jersey numbers? If you wore a certain number for your high school baseball team and picked a number, why was it that number? We should have some fun tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I think everyone's got a story on why they chose a specific number. I know I do. I think you probably do as well. And you, that day when you had the jersey handouts was always, when you were young, a very, very hectic day and a very tense day because you wanted this jersey. So we'll talk about that coming up tomorrow. Have a great night, Mark.
All right, you too.
All right, stay tuned. Todd and Alex next, KGYM.